I'm a bit biased. I'm a bit biased, but we got the best praise and worship team on the planet. I'm a bit biased. I'm a bit biased. I am. Our wonderful praise and worship leader, Anita, is actually ministering at another church this morning, so y'all keep her in prayer. But Sister Janice did such a wonderful job of leading that team into glory this morning. Amen. And then I'm so proud. Not only of the team, but especially our men, the men that are on the team. When the men go forth like that, man, that does my heart good. There was a time where we didn't have, I think maybe one man some years ago, but it's just so wonderful to have these men sprinkled all on the team. Come on now, bringing that testosterone and that masculine. Come on, y'all. I love that, bringing that masculinity. Come on. Man, I like that. Bringing that masculinity to the stage, man. Come on, y'all. That's a good thing. Amen. Hey, Tony from around the way need to know it's cool to worship. You know what I'm saying? Rocco not used to seeing, you know, cats that's, you know, physical up there, man. You know it. I love it. Y'all ready for the word today? Y'all ready for the word? Listen, last Sunday, I took just a small hiatus from the series that I started a couple of weeks ago so that I could honor mothers and women on last Sunday. And to God be the glory for that. But prior to that, I'd started a series called Death Sentence with the highlighted subject matter being rejection. And so we're gonna go right back into that this morning. So what I want you to do, thank you, Stephen, what I want you to do is I want you to turn your Bibles, many of you are already on your feet, thank you, to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's goodness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Need you to lean on at least three people before you're seated this morning and let them know, I'm rejected by man, but I'm respected by God. I'm rejected by man, but respected by God. Yeah, I'm rejected by man. It could be you sitting next to somebody who has rejected you. It could be. I don't know. That could be the case today. But aren't you so glad to know that even though you're rejected by people, that you're respected and you're honored by God? Isn't that a beautiful thing to know? That if everybody's acting funny and fickle around you, that you know Jesus will be waiting for you in the prayer closet. Ain't that a beautiful thing, everybody? When you can't text nobody, you can't tweet nobody. Nobody's available via Facebook. Nobody's available via Snapchat. But how many of you all know you can always go in the prayer closet and God will be willing and waiting for you? Yeah, you might be rejected by men. Yeah. Respected by God. Watch this. God has literally someone in your life assigned to antagonize, accuse, and assassinate the old you. Wait. God has someone assigned to your life. Their main purpose is to antagonize you, accuse you, and to assassinate the old you. Oh, that's the key. The old you, the you that you said was crucified. But sometimes you find that the old you that was crucified, you keep trying to raise up. Uh-oh, Oh, it's going to be good this morning. Lean on somebody and say, it's about to get good. It's about to get good this morning. I'm going to do an expository message in a particular scripture. So that I will spend the main line of message in a particular scripture. So you're not going to be going to four or five scriptures this morning unless the Lord redirects me. He might call an audible. We'll see. But really, you're going to be in one main line scripture, and that scripture is going to take us here to number 16. So go ahead and turn to that number 16, and we're going to begin here at the first verse. One day, Korah, son of Izhar, a descendant of Kohath, son of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram. We're going to talk about those two in a minute. The sons of Eliab and On, son of Peleth, from the tribe of Reuben. They incited a rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other leaders of the community, all prominent members of the assembly. Boy, I got to take my time so you can get this. They united against Moses and Aaron and said, "You've gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you're greater than the rest of the Lord's people?" Wait a minute, everybody. Korah. I'm talking about this man named Korah, the first cousin. For some of you who really paid attention, I talked a little bit about Korah last Sunday. Korah, the first cousin of Aaron and Moses. The first cousin. This is a family member, everybody. A Levite, the great-grandson of Levi. Just giving you a little backdrop on Korah. Korah was also equal in rank with Aaron. Okay? He was equal in rank with Aaron within the tribe. But Korah had a heart problem. Matter of fact, let me give you some more on Korah. He was a talented, watch this, but insolent Levite. That just means he was disrespectful. He had both prestige and respect in the nation of Israel. But his desire for power and authority beyond what God ordained led to his demise. His desire for power and authority beyond what God ordained. God gives each man, woman, a measure of authority. But you must stay within your measure. I'm giving you the end before I even get to the thick of the message. Yell, Korah. So listen, back to this particular scripture. Korah is not happy that Aaron and Moses, his first cousin, he's not happy that they're in charge. He don't like that they're in charge. He doesn't like it so much, everybody. Watch this, because you know people like this. Matter of fact, not only do you know people like this, you might be the one that needs deliverance from this. So he is so upset that he incites 250 of the best men to come against Moses and Aaron. The Bible, New King James, calls them men of renown. We're not talking about folk that don't have no wisdom. We're talking about your PhDs, your MITs, your master's degrees. We're talking about your doctors and your engineers. We're talking about your musicians, your business owners, your CEOs. He incited 250 of those people to come against Moses and Aaron. And then he had the nerve to tell Moses, who made you Lord over everybody? We all the same. We all hear from God. We might all hear from God, but God is a God of order. Oh, Lord Jesus. And God has assigned certain people in the kingdom for kingdom order. That doesn't mean that you can't hear from God, but that does mean that you need to respect order. Ooh, I'm not just talking about church, everybody. I'm talking about you need to respect order even on your job. But ain't gonna be telling me what to do. They're your boss. How can you? It's almost ludicrous to think that God would have a desire to promote you to the position of you where you're tearing down the person that's over you. So why would God want to give you that when you're tearing this person down? Okay. Let me get back to this. Look. So he says, what right do you have to act as though you're greater than the rest of the Lord's people? Man, that's so powerful in itself, just ridiculously powerful. Because there's a big three that jumps out at me right here. Envy, jealousy, and that leads to manipulation. So he begins to manipulate men. Because hear me, you all. Korah, say Korah. Korah is a man who is charismatic. He has charisma. He has likability. People actually like him. He can attract people to him. How else could he incite 250 amazing men to come against Moses and Aaron, whom God had appointed to lead? And it's amazing to me because Moses has to be so frustrated at this point in time. Some of you that know some backdrop on Moses, he's got to be so frustrated because here it is, he's trying to lead the Israelites. What should have been 4 days is taking 40 years. Come on, y'all. And so here it is, he's already dealing with backlash from the Israelites, many which are saying that you should have just left us where we was. If we was going to have to go through this, you could have left us there. And then here it is, sometimes, here it is, watch everybody, it's Moses, it's like sometimes in life you feel like you have graduated from the first level of attack. And then he gets into this next level attack with some of his own. See, sometimes you've got to fight against people that you don't know. And then you have to fight against people that you do know. Ooh, Lord. But God, let me tell you, will allow those things to happen so that you will run to him. He will allow people that you know. Matter of fact, don't shout, don't raise your hand, don't even bump nobody. But some of y'all dealing with some friction in your family. In your own family, oftentimes there's things that God will allow to rise up. Whew. Goodness. So when he's dealing with this manipulation, then this manipulation leads to something that is very deep. I don't have time to spend more time on it than I would like, so I got to just give it to you real quickly, and that is the spirit of seduction. This boy is bad. He got the spirit of the seduction. I don't mean bad in a good way. He got the spirit of seduction. He can seduce people. He can seduce people. He got a good mouthpiece. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He got a good mouthpiece on him. Good mouthpiece. He can say anything. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know people like that, where they say they can say you dirt in the desert. Come on, right? They can say you water at the ocean. They have the gift of gab. They can just talk. He's got something. He's got this mouthpiece. He can just talk his way. Some of you women, you're shaking your heads because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's how Tony got you. That's how Tony got you. Come on, right? Tony got you. That's why you dated him for a little bit, because he had the gift of gab. He talked a good game. He looked good, but he wasn't about nothing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been there before. You've been around people who can talk real well. They're about that talk, and not only can they talk real well, they can get people to agree with them. All of us have agreed with somebody that you didn't even know what they were saying was actually making sense. But everything sounded real good, and so you found yourself agreeing with something that you didn't even have facts on. But they talk so well. Are y'all with me this morning? Everybody's got somebody like that in their life where his mouthpiece is impressive. Matter of fact, it leads me to this, you all. A God appointment will lead to a man accusation. Anytime God appoints you to a position, you can best believe somebody's going to come against you. You can best believe somebody is going to deflate your bubble. Somebody's going to come in and start talking something that is going to be contradictive to what God is doing in your life. Isn't it amazing how you'll be criticized for getting your degree? don't care if I'm 48 or 49 or 56. If I want to go back and get my degree, I can go and get my degree. Can I better myself? I'm doing this for me. You're not being rude and you're not being ignorant or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is that people come against you for that. They come against you for promotion. They come against you. You get your new house, all of a sudden they come against you. You get your new car, all of a sudden you get your credit all together. You got an 800 plus score, all of a sudden they're coming against you. What is that? All of a sudden you get promoted in church and you start to serve in certain areas, all of a sudden people start coming against you. And oftentimes the people that are coming against you are the people that was riding with you. Oh, you was riding with me as long as we was like here. But when God put me here and kept you there, all of a sudden now you're coming against me. I'm not trying to leave you. I'm just trying to do what God wants me to do. Listen, there's enough pie for everybody to get a slice. But why is it that jealousy and envy and manipulation tries to make its way, especially into the church? I'm telling y'all about Bible. I'm telling you all about Korah, Moses, Aaron, people who are hearing from God. You have to know something about Korah. Korah of the Aaronite tribe. He was among this tribe, the Levites, had lineage of godliness in him, had the ability to get to God. He had the ability to hear from God. He was among few chosen. What's the problem, Pastor? It wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. He wanted more. Ooh, we got to practice humility. See, some of you all, let me just say this. This just dropped in my... Some of you all are not where you want to be in life, but you're so much further than where you used to be. And can you just thank God that you're right where you are right now? Because we so often forget the last victory, and we're on to the next thing. But thank God for the last victory and for the victory that's coming right now by the clapping. When Moses heard what they were saying, the Bible says he fell face down on his ground. He went face down. Face down. He said, oh, my Lord. He fell face down. He said, man, they're coming against me. They're coming at me. Come on, y'all. Come on, get this, because I want us to repeat. I want us to do some of these things in our own life. First thing he did, he didn't go after him. He didn't fuss him out. He didn't yell at Aaron. I'm sorry, he didn't tell Aaron, you go get him. He didn't even get at Korah nor those 250 men. The first thing he did, he got on his face. To do what? He needed to hear from God. Some of you have had situations like that where, you know, be honest. Sometimes you've got so many things just enraging on the inside of you, and you want to say something. But instead of saying something, you just walk away. Am I talking to anybody in this place right now? You ever been at work, and they're accusing you of something that you didn't do or saying something that you didn't say, and you know you're 100% right, and you want to tell them off? Oh, y'all not being honest. Can we talk about life in this place real quick? And you want to tell them off? But at that point in time, you're like, Lord, give me a scripture right now in my spirit. Come on, right. Give me a scripture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Somebody say, I need a word. You need a word. You need a word. So then Moses says, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show us who belongs to him and who's holy. The Lord will only allow those whom he selects to enter into his own presence. Korah, you and all your followers must prepare your incense burners, light fires in them tomorrow, burn incense before the Lord. Then we will see whom the Lord chooses as his holy one. You Levites are the ones who have gone too far. The incense symbolized and expressed the prayers of the people. It was restricted in that the only the priest descended from Aaron could offer the incense. Just a little help for you right there. Then the Bible says in verse 8, then Moses spoke again to Korah. He said, now listen, you Levites, watch this. Does it seem insignificant to you that the God of Israel has chosen you from among all the community of Israel to be near him so you can serve in the Lord's tabernacle and stand before the people to minister to him? Korah, he has already given this special ministry to you and your fellow Levites. Are you now demanding the priesthood as well? He said, God's already given you tremendous responsibility. But is that not enough? Are you now, Moses said, are you now demanding the priest? Do you now want my job too? But you were not called, nor are you equipped to do my job. Jude 1 and 6 tells us, and I remind you of the angels who did not stay, watch this, within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. Lean on somebody and say, stay in your lane. It's imperative that you remain in the limits of authority by which God has given you. To usurp authority, hear me, church, is witchcraft and seduction. It is a seducing spirit. You are to remain in the place that God has given you and brought you and not try to suppress it as though it doesn't mean anything. We live in a world where all of a sudden it's like we don't respect authority any longer. And we have got to, watch this, train up our children to respect authority. Respect authority. You should not be going to the school to have an argument with the teacher with your child standing right there. If you got a problem with the teacher, do it privately. But don't pull down and weaken the teacher. But you got to teach your children to have a respect for authority. Respect when they're in school, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. When they're at home, when they're in church, when they're around anybody that's in authority, because that's on you. Because if your children don't have respect, that's on you. If your children say what, why, to grown folk, that's on you. Train your children the right way. And it ain't old school. It's called respectful. Well, I ain't trying to have my kids talking about something. Yes, sir. Why not? I've done that literally all my life. My parents raised me to be respectful like that. And you are to be respectful like that. See, your kids shouldn't be talking about some what. So listen, if your kid says what to you when you call them at home, what do you think they're going to do to another adult when they're out? And I'm not talking about just your little kids. I'm talking about your teenagers. As long as they under your household, but even if they're not in your household, believe you me, come on, they still respect you. They still honor you. Is that okay, everybody? We're living in a world where all of a sudden it's like that's not important. That is so important, everybody, that your children have respect and they have honor. Korah didn't respect his position. He was among, in those days, I can equate it to today, he was among those on the set-up tear-down team. He was among those folk. Set-up tear-down, set-up tear-down. That's what we have to do here. Y'all did know this was a school. Y'all think it's like this during the week? No, it's not like this during the week. We got to do this every week. And Bob and the team, they lead this. The fact of the matter is that Korah had a position within the kingdom, and part of it was taking care of the tabernacle, but that wasn't good enough. So you taking care of the tabernacle is not good enough, so you want to preach. So Korah didn't just want to take care of the tabernacle, he wanted to preach. But you don't understand the pressure that you come up under when you have to preach. See, because your position always looks tantalizing when they're not doing it. Ooh, let me talk to somebody else over here. Let me talk to somebody who's doing big things over here. Your position looks very tantalizing for everybody who's not doing it. Because when God has promoted you, it's called the R word. It's called responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And so here's the reality of what I know, even about our setup teardown, is that we would not have church in the way that we have it if we didn't have a set up teardown. Somebody's got to bring the TVs out. Somebody's got to set the drums up. Somebody's got to do the keyboards, the backdrops. All of, y'all ain't even noticed the new backdrops. Y'all ain't even noticed that. But all for this to turn into what we call a church on every Sunday morning, somebody's got to do that particular job. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. Oh, that's a very big deal, everybody. I'm going to give you some more of that here in a second. Ooh, I got to give you this around kids because I wrote this. Because what will happen is that if you don't train your children to respect authority, what will happen is they'll grow up with two things, riotous and rebellious behavior. Riotous and rebellious behavior. They'll always ask a question about why. They'll always, you tell them to do something, and they say why. I need to talk to somebody at least 35 to 40 real quick. I need to talk to somebody that kind of grew up when you asked your mama or your daddy why. And they gave you, come on now, they gave you that MIT, Yale, Harvard speech, right? Because I said so. That's. Anybody come from that generation? Anybody come from the generation because I said so? And did anybody walk away like, well, that ain't a good reason why that? But you ain't say that. You ain't say that, though. You ain't say that. You ain't say that. Come on. Anybody come from that generation where your parents said, what'd you say?
Nothing.
Anybody come from that generation where your parent was so bold to say, I thought so. I thought you were. Why you got to get all smart, though? Why you got to get all smart?
I was raised in that, man. My mama ain't play. My dad didn't play my mama. That little woman right there, stand up, mom. Stand up. That little woman right there, stand up, mom. Stand up. That little woman ain't play right there. Raise your right arm. Raise your right arm. That arm right there got me. I don't know how many times that arm right there. I don't know how she found a way to kind of wrap that belt. You know what I'm talking about? Wrap that belt around here. You see, y'all all children's services sensitive now. I mean, y'all, please, you know, your kids. I'm going to call children's service. I'd have been like, please, give me your phone, Wes. Give me your phone. I wish my kids would have said, I'm going to call children's services. Here you go. Put the number. Call them. Come on now. I'm not about abusing kids now. I'm not about that. Don't get it twisted. I'm not about abusing children. Spare the rod. I do believe in serious discipline with your children. Not time out. You on punishment. I'm taking 5 or 6 games away. What kind of punishment is that? Oh, I'm getting off. Y'all getting something this morning? Y'all getting something? Say rejection. Korah dealt with rejection for one of these reasons. Watch this. He dealt with rejection, watch this, due to a self-induced insignificant assignment. Self-induced. Nobody told him that what he did was insignificant. But because he had an inflated, improper, low self-esteem issue, he deemed himself insignificant, watch this, as comparison to someone else. Be careful with social media, because social media will exasperate people's lives. And it'll make it look like everybody's doing all of these amazing things. And if you're not careful, you'll fall into this ashamed area. You'll feel like you're not accomplishing anything because they got all of this. First of all, a lot of that they're portraying is phony. But don't ever compare yourself or weaken your call and your assignment based upon somebody else. God does not look in the blessing book to try to figure out who's got the best blessing. Don't ever try to compare yourself. Comparison kills people. Comparison destroys relationships. Comparison destroys churches. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about what God has called you to do for the season that you're in. Because nobody, especially when it comes to those who serve, let's say like Cora did, nobody in this church is insignificant. We need all of you. We need to set up tear down team. Listen, y'all ain't going to see this without them. I can't put this stuff together. Y'all not going to see it. We need every area of auxiliary functioning in this church for us to have church. There's at least 10 auxiliaries happening right now, right where y'all seated. At least 10 things are going on right now, all at the same time. But we need people. We need people like Mark. Come here, stand up, Mark. We need people like Mark Sturgeon. We need him. We need this man. We need him. We need Big Mark. Stand up, Big Mark. We need you, man. We need Big Mark. We need him. We need Robert. Stand up, Robert. We need you, man. We need you. We need Yvette. Here's the thing about it. You say, well, Pastor, that's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. Mark is on the setup teardown team. He's been on the setup teardown team for 3 years. The entire 3 years that we have been in this building, he's been on this team. And he's been, matter of fact, he is the reigning volunteer of the year. Yeah. He's an amazing man of God. And I so appreciate him. But he's necessary and he's needed, everybody. And so even those of you on the First Touch ministry, you are necessary. And you say, well, ain't no big deal, Pastor. I'd rather be on the altar team. Well, I don't want to be on the First Touch. I want to be on the altar team. I want to pray for people. Well, let me tell you how important it is, because your smile that you put on that individual, the smile you put on that individual when they came in the door, what that did is that gave them some encouragement. And so that encouragement actually put them in their seat. And because you gave that encouragement when they hit the door, now they can come down to the altar. Yes. But here's the thing about it. If you give them a frown on the door, you can mess their whole morning up. And they'll never make it to the altar. So everybody is significant in the body of Christ. Everybody. Well, I want to, I don't want to just, I don't want to sing as an accompaniment. I want to sing a solo. Well, listen, everybody can't sing the solos. No, we need a team. We need the team. We need the team to blend together. There's a blending that I'm not this song genius, but I know about blend. I know when music can blend together and voices can blend together. The fact of the matter, now we bless. The fact of the matter is that not everybody is cut out to sing a solo. Not everybody has the voice to sing a solo. Now y'all all can sing in your car. Come on now, come on, come on. Come on now, all of y'all in the car like, Yeah, but you put a mic in your hand, it's all bad. It's all bad. Lean on somebody and say, he ain't talking to me, he talking to you. He talking to me. Because I can sing. Matter of fact, if you volunteer in this church, stand on your feet right now. You do anything in this church in a volunteer base, stand on your feet. Look at that. Clap your hands. Now, that's wonderful. I love it. I do. Thank you so much. I do. But I want more of you standing. We need more of you standing. We need, if you make this your church home, which the majority of you do, I want you to get involved. There's so many areas to get involved. You say, well, that's insignificant. No, it's not. It's very significant, from the guy that's in the parking lot, to the folk that's in the door when you come in, to the folk that carry the money, to the folk that protect the house, protect pastor, for the folk who walk around here to make sure that everything is safe and secure, that none of y'all even know about. You don't even know where they position at, or even the fact that they're here, but they in the building. That's not insignificant, everybody. It's not always wanting to be a part of what you think is glamorous. Because what you think is glamorous, let me tell you, baby. Whoo. Moses says this. Oh, no, 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 I got to give you this. Watch this. Church is a form by which we use religion to perform activities that we have neither earned, qualified for, nor do we possess the grace to govern under significant ridicule. Now, you'll have to study this throughout the week, and you can grab the notes on the app. You can go to the download the app, and you can always grab the notes if you miss them here on a Sunday morning. Listen, church, say church. Church is a form. We're in a church. It's a form by which we use religion. This is what Cora is doing. We use religion to perform activities that we've not earned it. We're not qualified for it. Nor do we possess the grace to govern under ridicule. Anything that you've been called by God to do, to know it is affirmed by the kingdom, means that you're under accusations. Let me say that again. To know it has been confirmed that what you are doing is of God, you will be placed under consistent ridicule. That means you won't have this glamorous fan club all around you telling you how wonderful you are. When it's a God assignment, you can best believe you are going to be ridiculed. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be run amok. Folk who you thought were for you are going to be against you. Folk who you think you're walking with now are whispering silently against you. Paul said it like this. Y'all getting something this morning? Y'all all right? Can I give you a little bit more? I just want to draw a quick juxtaposition here in what Paul said. He said in Ephesians 3, Paul said, though I'm the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. He says, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So watch this. Then he says, this is good. He says, so please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Your suffering is to help somebody else. Then Moses does this. He summons Dathan and Abiram. I talked about them earlier. Moses summons Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they reply, we refuse to come before you. Now he summons Dathan and Abiram because they're supposed to be on another level. They're among the best of the 250. These are folk that Moses and Aaron have had a level of fellowship with before. But they say to him, we refuse to come before you. And then they say this, watch this. Isn't it enough that you brought us out of Egypt, a land with flowing with milk and honey, to kill us here in this wilderness, and that you now treat us like your subjects? What's more, you haven't brought us into another land flowing with milk and honey. You haven't given us a new homeland with fields and vineyards. Are you trying to fool these men? We will not come. Why is this so important? Because Abiram and Dathan are the sons of Eliab. Why is that so important? Eliab was the first one that they called in when Samuel came in looking for the next king. Do you remember when Samuel is talking to Jesse? He says, listen, the Lord is about to choose the next king. I need your sons. The first one to come across the room was Eliab. You all know, Samuel says, no, 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 the Lord has rejected him. He is not the one to be the next king. Well, why is that so important, Pastor? Because Eliab suffered with rejection. Eliab's rejection then bled down on his sons. Ooh. Rejection has roots. If rejection is not dealt with, it will filter down through the bloodlines of your children, your children's children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Listen, it just doesn't happen that you look at bloodlines sometimes and you see the same repetitive things continuing again and again and again. Let me tell you, some things that, listen, it happened, it is what it is, that have happened in my own life. Let me tell you, anytime I have reached what I've called a milestone, I've told you all this before, I've celebrated it. Being, so I'm 47, so my son, my oldest son, was born when I was 18. So when my oldest son now, who's 29, when he eclipsed that milestone, I glory to God. Because I was saying, thank God I didn't pass that down. Child out of wedlock, not married. Are y'all with me this morning? I wanted to destroy that spirit in the name of Jesus. And so now he's 29, never been married, has no children. Because at 29, as he is now, not only had I been married and divorced, but I also had a child. Now, I didn't say that that is the devil and that. No. God can still use you, everybody. But what I'm saying is that you should look at people within your bloodline and believe God and plead the blood of Jesus that they will not have to go through the same thing that you went through. It's foolishness to tell your child, well, I had to go through it, so you're going to have to go through it too. No. Wisdom says, listen, don't go down that road, come down this road. Nuh-uh, there's something about her. I don't like her. There's something about her. I know you're going to make your own decision, but there's something I'm discerning about her. It's okay for you to say that to your son. It's okay for you to say that to your daughter. You're not trying to run her life, but you wouldn't be a good parent if you didn't say, listen, I don't know. There's something I feel. I can't explain. Well, Ma, what's going on? I don't know. I just can't explain it, honey. And I'm not trying to run your life, and I'm not trying to say that you can't see them no more. You grown. I get that. You in college, or you grown, whatever like that. I'm not trying to run your relationships, but I'm just trying to tell you there's something that don't fit right in my spirit. And what happens, everybody, is when you have raised your children under the admonition of God, what will happen is that sometimes they say, well, I'm going to date them anyway, but what will happen is they won't sit right. Ooh, I'm talking to somebody right now. I know I'm talking to somebody. So what will happen is that your child will continue to date them or whatever like that, but they won't feel right. All of a sudden they be eating. All of a sudden they start twitching and stuff. I won't go that far. But what is true is that seed. I think I just helped about 3 or 4 parents this morning. I think I did. Rejection is the prerequisite for the call. Listen to Dathan and Abram, these boys. I'm almost finished. They were both quarrelsome and seditious, which means they were rebellious. Personages in Egypt, they were assigned, watch this, they were two of the people assigned to place difficulties in the way of Moses. Whew. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that there is somebody that God has assigned to your life to place difficulties in front of you. You said, Pastor, that don't make no sense. It is often the way God works. It's not to hurt you. It's not to maim you. It is to make you better. And God will oftentimes show you who you can really trust. Because sometimes we get way too inundated with people pleasing. And then what God will do is he'll strip people away from you whom you thought had your best interest in mind. Because you best believe, everybody, that Moses felt Korah, Dathan, Abiram, these 250 men, if all of y'all gonna lead me, I would have thought these would be the last one upon my life. Who's in your life that has that assignment? Who's in your life? Some of you, it might be a family member. It may be. They're in your life to cause havoc. It's not your spouse. It's Somebody sitting there like, I knew it was her. I knew it was her. No, it's not her or him. He's there to make you better. He's not there to cause havoc. Amen, everybody. If you're getting something, put your hands together right quick, would you? Man, I don't. Let me go right down to verse 19. Meanwhile, Korah stirred up the entire community against Moses and Aaron, and they all gathered at the tabernacle and the entrance. Because it's about to go down now. Remember, Moses said, listen, we're going to see who's holy. We're going to see. We're going to put this thing to the test. So get y'all incense together. We're going to see, because you done lost your mind. You enraging all these folk that come against me, and all I'm doing is doing what God is telling me. And you acting like you want my job, but you're not even equipped to do my assignment. Obviously, you're not equipped to do your assignment. Because nobody does their assignment well that so wants somebody else's assignment. That means you're failing at your own assignment. You can't do my assignment and your assignment too. You do your assignment well, and then God will promote you. Because promotion doesn't come from the north, the south, the east, nor the west. But promotion comes from where? It comes from God. But God will promote you on his own timing. You can't make God nor people promote you. And let me tell you, sometimes you'll be promoted and or you'll do something that you should not have done in the timing that you've done it in, and it'll be like a stranglehold on you. Okay, keep going, Pastor. Keep going. But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. Oh, God, they pleaded, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry? What happens is the Lord is saying, listen, I'm going to kill everybody. Bottom line. The Lord said, listen, I'm going to kill everybody. Period, point blank. And so he's because he said, listen, this is a mess. This thing is all over the place. This thing is all over. He said, okay, I'm killing everybody. Moses and Aaron, the Bible says Moses and Aaron, they fall on their face, they begin to pray. They said, no, Lord. They said, will you kill everybody here on account, watch this, of one person? Wait. Yeah, Pastor, but you said 250 people rose up, including Dathan, Abiram, and all of those. Yeah, but they all rose up on account of Korah. One person can jack up the whole job. One person can mess up the attitude in the whole office. One person can mess up everything. Y'all know exactly. Everybody has either working it now or you worked the job before. When so-and-so come in the room, you're like, oh, here we go. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Yeah. Oh. Y'all all know what I'm talking about. I've told our staff, and hopefully y'all are getting something even from these small drip drops I'm giving you. I've told our team and our staff, and I got a number of those staff in here. And I've told them, I don't have to say this. I've probably only said this maybe once. But I'm not a moody pastor now. I don't come in the office with attitudes and stuff. Okay? We don't do that. When we come in here, we got a job to do, but we want to smile, laugh. We got business to take care of, amen? But don't bring the attitudes and stuff like that, okay? Most of us in the office are married, so you got stuff going on at home and things like that. I understand that. What I'm saying, everybody, it's not okay to be moody every day. Well, I'm just human. Well, work on that area. Why are you always moody, though? Well, you're not dealing with what I'm dealing with. But listen, you're not dealing with what they're dealing with. Why is it that people are always, you're trying to compare the heaviness of stuff that you're dealing with? Listen, you're not dealing with no more than what somebody else is dealing with in their own home. So get your mind right. And be a person that is, bring a person that brings life to the room, not sucks the life out of it. Is that good, everybody? Must you be angry with just one person? The Lord told Moses, he said, get away from the tents. Get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Get away from the tents of these wicked men. and don't touch anything that belongs to him. All the people stood back from tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. The Dathan and the Abiram stood out at the entrance of the tents together with their wives and children and little ones. And Moses said, verse 28, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things that I have done, for I have not done them on my own. If these men die a natural death, or if nothing unusual happens, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord does something entirely new and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them and all their belongings and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have shown contempt for the Lord. Wrote a quick note. I want you to write it down. People that challenge your gift reject your authenticity. People that challenge your gift, they reject your authenticity. Lean on somebody and say, I'm the real thing, baby. Believe that. Believe that. Believe that. We need real people in this life. We need real people. We need people that are about it. We need people that's going to keep their word, say what they're going to say, do what they're going to do. We don't need people just blowing smoke in the air, trying to look good for everybody. We don't need you going on your Facebook and your Instagram and just bragging about everything that's going on in your life. If you're giving glory to God, I get all of that, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to try to fluff yourself up and make yourself look better and all of that, because a lot of people that do that are miserable. Uncommon grace partners with uncommon favor. Uncommon grace partners with uncommon favor. In verse 32, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the men. It is suddenly split open. It opens it up. It swallows the men along with their households and all their followers who were standing with them and everything they own. So they went down alive into the grave along with all their belongings. The earth closed over them and they all vanished from among the people of Israel. All the people around them fled when they heard their screams. The earth will swallow us too, they cried. Then fire blazed forth from the Lord and burned up the 250 men who were offering incense. You say, Pastor, don't leave us right there. Now, don't leave us like that. Don't. Leaders with rebellious hearts always wreak havoc in the lives of those unwise enough to follow them. A self-appointed leader takes upon himself the authority and responsibility, watch this, of a spiritual office to which he has not been divinely called. You are doing a disservice to yourself to desire or wish an office to come upon you for which you are not divinely called. You do not want to walk in the office of a prophet if you have not been divinely called to be a prophet, because true prophets often have hard times sleeping. True prophets have to learn when to say something and when not to say something, because true prophets, God is always giving something to them. But even though God is always giving something to you, it doesn't mean that it's always time to deliver. A true prophet, watch, a true prophet has a hard time walking in Giant Eagle, walking in Walmart, walking in Aldi and out without feeling something, without hearing something from God. If you got the office of a pastor, you can't get away. You've got a heart. Your heart bleeds for people. If you're a person that says, well, I don't really like people, you know, but I want to be a pastor. You want to be the wrong thing. You say, well, wait, man, look glamorous. You can stand up on the stage and preach this, that, and the other. And, you know, you don't do nothing during the week, which folk think I don't do anyway. You just get ready for Sunday every week. I wish it was that. I wish it was like that, y'all. It's not. But you don't want to desire something that you have not been divinely called to. It will literally kill you. You've not been divinely called to that. I'm talking about called by God, not by you. Called and affirmed by God. And how do you know if you've been called and affirmed? One of them is that you'll be criticized often. And you'll often be spoken in a way where people will say and deem you unqualified. They'll deem you unqualified. You are unqualified. Because all of those folk with all the pretty records and like all the pretty past records, like all their, you know, their past history is all pretty and all beautiful and they never made no mistakes. God rarely uses them. Well, Pastor, you're talking about 0.00000001% of the earth, because the other 99.9999999999% have all made mistakes. I'm talking about us, everybody. We've all made mistakes. Amen. Amen. Let me give you this. I'm finished. Self-appointed. I'm going to give you this and I'm finished. You can begin to play. Self-appointed. Watch this. A self-appointed leader does this. He causes others to rise up against existing leadership. He publicly criticizes and questions leadership to bring shame and disgrace. He makes accusations via a man rather than a mirror. That's big. Accusations via a man rather than a mirror. He doesn't respect nor value the assignment. He wants and believes he deserves more. A man appointed assignment. He embraces the appointments given by God. They privately engage in conversation where problems may exist. They assume full responsibility for decision making. Last but not least, they serve with a towel, not a title. How can I serve? How can I serve? How can I best help? How can I best provide a helpmate, which would be for you? Did you get something good this morning? I want you to stand all over your feet. Stand to your feet all over the building. Stand to your feet. I pray you got something good here today, and something that you can eat on even throughout the week. If you're in the house today, just lift your hands. Altar workers, I want you to come forth right now. Altar workers, altar team, just come forth and just stand across this stage today. You to be very honest with yourself here in the building. If you feel like you've been under attack, just raise your hand. Feel like you've been under attack. Pastor, I know it's me. I know that's been, it's been happening in my life. I feel like I've been under attack. It's like something has raged up around me. One of the things that has happened is your rejection is getting louder. It's getting louder. Let me have a man come here. We got a man here. Robert, come on over here. Those of you that raised your hand, you said that. I want you to come to the altar. Raise your hand. You raise your hand. Come quickly. Come quickly. Woman with a woman, man with a man, if we can make that happen. We'll see how many we have available here this morning. Eve and DLJ, come and help. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. John, I want you to come down and help. Altar, come down here. Bless your name, Lord. You can just grab some women. I know we got some women over here. Bless your name, Lord. You come right here, John. Oh, okay, DLJ has him. Look at another man over here. Bless your name, Lord. Bless the Lord. You can just pray. I surrender all. It's still coming. It's still coming. Bless your name, Lord. Yes, God.
We're holding nothing.
Bless your name, Lord.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. Oh, nothing. Kim, come pray for her. Back, back, back.
I surrender to you. Everything I need.
Everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding.
For deliverance, great deliverance at this altar. Right? Great deliverance, great deliverance, great deliverance.
Holding nothing,
holding nothing,
holding nothing,
holding nothing,
holding
nothing,
holding nothing.
I give you all of me.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
I give you all of me.
Yes, Lord.
Every part not like you.
Father, Father.
Every hidden secret, Lord. I give you all. Shift it, Stephen. Shift the sound. Such a brokenness all over me. The Lord told me to deal with the bloodline, Dad. He told me to deal with the bloodline. For I know. Especially, there has been a restoration of relationship. For the Lord says that there was a time and a point and a moment, a season, where there was a desert. There was nothing there. There wasn't any communication. There wasn't anything that was thriving. But truly, the Lord says, partly because of circumstances, I brought the both of you into a new season. He said, and this new season is just not for these moments, just only to heal. But I hear the Lord saying, restoration is upon the both of you. But man of God, I just speak to your bloodline right now. My Lord, Jesus, I've got to call it what it is. There are hindrances. hindrances in your bloodline that have passed down from your family, from drugs to alcohol to incarceration. It's within the bloodline. It's within the siblings. It's within the uncles. But I hear the Lord saying unto you today that you are stepping out in freedom, man of God, from every activity of your past. So many have tried to manipulate you. So many have tried to manipulate you. But I hear the Lord saying, I can literally see it in the spirit. It's like shackles are being broken in the spirit off of you. They're being broken. They're being free. Oh, there it is. There it is. For I hear the Lord saying unto you, Dana, right? Dana. I hear the Lord saying unto you, look at me, Dana. Look, 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 watch. Because the Lord's speaking to your heart. He said, listen, he said, Dana, it's still a struggle right now. It's still a struggle. Even though you have decided to change your life, you're coming into the house of God, you're serious about God, you're working on building a life-giving, thriving relationship with your children. You never look at your children the same. Never. He said, it's still a challenge. But I hear the Lord saying, man of God, keep pushing. Don't quit. You are so close to your breakthrough. And your children are watching you. You are now the compass for your family. There was a time in the season they didn't even look for you for guidance. But now you're the compass that is keeping this family together. And I hear the Lord saying, as you get stronger, they're going to get stronger. As you thrive, they're going to thrive. As you strengthen yourself, they're going to strengthen yourself. For I cause this family to grow closer together than ever before. And I break every bondage of curses and condemnation over your lives right now. I break and bust the spirit of murder, the spirit of manipulation, the spirit of hurt, the spirit of pain, the spirit of relational antagonism. Just break it right now in the name of Jesus. You will walk in freedom. You will walk in virtue. My Lord, you're a woman of virtue. 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 Don't let nobody label you. Don't let nobody label you. Don't allow anybody to call you a victim of circumstance. You're a queen. You're a queen. I don't care how you were raised. You don't need a around the way dude. You don't need that. God has called you to rule and to reign, daughter. May your self-esteem lift right now in the name of Jesus. My Lord. Lift your hand, daughter. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. My Lord. Just lift your self-esteem right now. Name of Jesus and just strip. My Lord. Jesus. You need new friends. You need new friends. Your friends are hurting you. They're hurting you. You need new friends. God will supply that for you. Right? Can we give God some praise in this place? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your breakthrough, your recovery, your strength. This is a beautiful, beautiful family here that I was just praying for. Yet suffering through tragedy and
Dana losing his daughter to a senseless act of violence not too long ago. I'm telling you that because we family, church. We family. And we are hurting as family. We got to come together. We got to develop and we got to build relationships. Amen. Because there's life outside of Sunday church. There's life. People need people, everybody. Amen. Well, listen, I am going to speak the blessing to you. So I want you all to just begin to lift your hands. Listen, I've got to do something that I don't normally do. And if I didn't have the appointment that I got today, I wouldn't do it. But I literally got to get to Cleveland. I got to get on a plane in just a couple hours. So I'm not going to be able to greet today. My wife is going to make her way out there. Just love on you all. So if you all can just greet her in the love of Jesus and be thinking about me. But I've got to get out of here and get to Cleveland. So y'all just be praying for me. I'm just headed to Minnesota for a few days for a conference. Lift your hands all over the building. Listen, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That is God intended for your purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody lay a stake and claim and say, it's my best season. We bless your homes, your jobs, your families. I bless you emotionally, mentally, socially, spiritually. I tell you, each and every week, God has given us one incredible, amazing life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what?
Give it away.
I love you so much. God bless you.